So it's all happening in Macquarie Park, Sue.
Yeah, none of it very good, is it really?
No, I mean, we had the story the other day that there were serious defects in Lachlan's line, which must really please Lachlan Malloch, who's basically the assistant strata commissioner. He's a senior advisor to John Minns. And so there's a lot to talk about that. And then there's another e-bike fire in Bondi.
Yeah. So it's been a bad week for apartment living, really.
It has. Lots and lots to talk about. I'm Jimmy Thompson. I write the Flat Chat column for the Australian Financial Review.
And I'm Sue Williams, and I write about property for Domain and the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age.
And this is the Flat Chat Wrap. Okay, so where do we start? Where do we start with the Lachlan's line?
A few years ago, I went to the launch of Lachlan's line, and it was actually a really quite a high-grade development. There were lots of young people there looking to buy a place. The developer's Greenland, which is a Chinese company, but they've set up an Australian arm.
Yeah.
You know, they've done lots of prestige.
Well, they've been around for a while.
Yeah, and they've done other prestige buildings as well.
I think they've got a big one in the city.
The city, yes. Yeah. The highest building in the city, Greenland. It's a very thin tower.
Yeah.
And they also did the one, Omnia, in King's Cross, Potts Point.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which was taken over by somebody else. Or they took it over, but they were involved in it as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're quite high-end developers, really. They've got a good reputation.
So, basically, we got the story that the building commissioner's office had said there were defects in the building that needed to be repaired, and they'd been ordered to repair them within 8 months.
Mm.
Then we had a press conference at which David Chandler kind of had a go at journalists for exaggerating, I guess, the seriousness of the defect alert.
Yeah, I guess he was saying that the building isn't in imminent risk of collapse.
No.
And Greenland had disputed the defects as well, and then they'd said that they would get them all fixed as quickly as possible. Yeah, so it's kind of become, you know, a bit of a flashpoint for lots of arguments. I mean, there's always media war between the Sydney Morning Herald and the Daily Telegraph. So if one of them has a story, then the other one might kind of work to sort of play it down a bit.
Yeah. And then there was the issue that some of the owners in Greenland are saying that Greenland knew about these defects but didn't tell people when people were buying.
That's right. So
is kind of illegal if it's true.
Yeah, if it's true. So I think Fair Trading is now conducting an investigation into that.
And then to top it all, the other day, there was a drug raid in the place. And somebody had something like $700,000 in cash.
And guns,
yeah.
Well, which shows that it's a really high-end building,
isn't it,
really?
It does, yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily the residents who are high-end, but the apartments are.
That's right, probably good security.
That's
the key. You often get alleged drug dealers going into places with good security. Apartments are fantastic for them.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you can screen who comes in.
You can see who's at the door, and you've got time to do
what
you... Yeah. Obviously, in this case, didn't work.
No.
Maybe the police had followed the building commissioner's people in. You never know. probably shouldn't say that. I'll get into trouble from David Chandler. So just dialing this back a bit. The issues are in the podium level, the supports for the podium level. So if you haven't seen the pictures, and there is one on the Flat Chat website, it's basically three tall towers sitting on top of a podium. Which has gardens and swimming pool, I think, and stuff like that. And it looks really nice.
Mm.
But they found what they call spalling, which we know more commonly as concrete cancer, in the supports or the joints of the supports for the podium.
So that means the kind of metal inside the concrete,
because
you need metal to reinforce it, wasn't properly protected, is that right?
So yeah, I mean,
when moisture gets in, it gets rusty.
And then the rust expands and it blows out the concrete and creates cracks and weakens the structure.
Mm.
Now, it's not fatal.
Mm.
And it's the sooner you get to it, the better. You can basically get in there, dig it out, fill the hole, strengthen it again, and no one will be any the wiser. The problem part of the problem seems to be that our friends at the Sydney Morning Herald made it sound a bit like it was going to be the next Mascot Towers. And to their credit, the Building Commission said, nobody needs to move out, nobody's in danger.
Mm.
But that wasn't the headline. That's the headline in the Flat Chat coverage on our website. You know, there's no need to evacuate.
Yeah.
But I think the Herald may have gone in full blast on that. And then I'm pretty sure the Telegraph were not entirely innocent in this regard.
And it was interesting because David Chandler was then saying maybe he's going to look at the language that the Building Commissioner uses. Yeah. So it can't be... So it doesn't sort of inflame anxiety too much.
Yeah.
In situations where anxiety perhaps isn't warranted.
Mm. See, I get the feeling that he, had he been in place when Mascot Towers happened, when the cracking first appeared there, I wonder if they would have evacuated. Because he is now has a policy of making buildings safe rather than making them empty.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I suppose that means getting in as early as possible, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think Loughlin's line's only just been completed, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's kind of got in there.
It's still
quite
under
quickly.
Whatever warranties exist.
But it makes me wonder, does David Chandler go into every single building that is being. Can't. Doesn't have the time or the.
No.
He's getting a lot more employees, isn't he?
There's something like 1,000 new apartment blocks coming on stream every year.
Right.
So that would be 20 a week.
Mm.
It can't be done. I mean, some of them are quite small, but.
Yeah.
I
guess you've got to do kind of a thorough investigation, haven't you? So.
And one of the things he was saying just the other day was there's been a culture, if you want to call it that, in Australian strata of if you see there are problems, don't mention it, sell out and let somebody else deal with the problems. And because people are quite rightly worried that the price of apartments, the value of their apartments would go down, might be a very good time to buy into Lachlan's line. But he's saying report it early. The earlier you report it, the more likely you are to get it fixed before the developer, either their liability runs out or they disappear to somewhere like Lebanon.
Yes, which brings us to Jean Nassif.
Jean Nassif of
Top Place.
Top Place.
And there's a number of his buildings that have been identified as having defects, and he's a wanted man.
Yes.
But he's now in Lebanon, which doesn't have an extradition treaty with Australia.
No.
And he's just been spotted wining and dining in a fabulous restaurant in Beirut.
Just winding back that story, just to add another layer, Jean Nassif was the person that Eleni Petinos wanted David Chandler to meet.
Oh, that's
remember
right.
that notorious
yeah, that's
case?
True.
And David Chandler said, not interested, I resign. If you insist on me doing this, I'm going to resign.
Doesn't reflect very well on Petinos, does it?
And then she was asked to get her cardboard box and don't come back on Monday by the Premier, who oddly said it had nothing to do with this case and it had to do with some sort of abusive culture in the office, like she was being too strongly worded in her criticisms of people.
Yeah.
She almost lost her seat. She had an absolutely rock-solid seat down at Miranda, and she was on the brink of losing it at the last election. And then Scott Morrison, Scotty from, what did they call it? What was his nickname? Scotty from Marketing?
I think Marketing,
yeah.
Yes. That's
so
right.
Then Scotty from Marketing turned up and went round with her and got her over the line. And she is now a junior minister not a minister, but junior shadow minister. Mm. So she's a woman.
Who's still going places.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I'm sure in 4 or 5 years' time, the next election, she'll pop up again, which is more likely to happen than Jean Nassif popping up again.
Yeah, sure. I mean, she wouldn't be the first politician who's been perhaps duped by a
developer.
Yeah.
Certainly not the first and probably not the last.
But it does go to show how important this iCert system is, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, the rating system for developers.
Yep.
Because if you really are not sure of a new building that's going up, but you really want to buy in there, And I think a lot of confidence in buying off the plan has been rocked this week by all these stories. It would be good to go and have a look at the ICERT rating for the developer and absolute and check that the developer hasn't told you that it's got a fantastic ICERT rating. But
not that anyone would ever do that. But some of the people serving their food at the welcome desk might.
From our own experience. But check on the ICERT website and you can see which developers have got lots of stars and which developers don't have quite so many.
I'm wondering if Greenland
have. Yeah, we should have a look.
Should have done that before we started this recording. Mm. The thing is that the ICERT rating doesn't guarantee that the apartment you buy will be in a building without defects.
No, that's true.
Because that's almost impossible.
Yes.
But what it does suggest is that if there are defects and they're discovered, the developer will fix them.
That's right.
And that is a huge difference. And has the financial backing
to do so.
Yes. Mm. And I'd imagine I would be very surprised if Greenland weren't in there with 4 or 5 stars. Mm. And they have a terrific reputation, actually. It does, as you say, it's another blow to the idea of people buying off the plan.
Yeah, so it couldn't have come at a worse time, really, because we're talking so much about high density, about the housing shortage and how we just need more apartments and we need more people to go into apartments. So it's kind of a real blow for governments of all the states and territories around the nation, really.
Yeah.
Because no doubt Victoria's watching closely, Queensland's watching closely, and they're both kind of quietly smiling to themselves at the mess New South Wales finds itself in once again.
Once again. There's an interesting piece in the paper today by Geraldine Brooks, the Pulitzer Prize-winning Australian author, who's saying, stop this idea of knocking down old cottages in Balmain. Let's build apartment blocks in Point Piper. She said Malcolm Turnbull's house has in so much land you could build a really decent-sized apartment block there.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, there are lots of apartments in Point Piper, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, some of those houses on huge blocks.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. No, you're not going to get rid of them in a hurry.
But some of those people, you could tell them how wonderful apartment living is, because generally it is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, those people would be able to afford the top 2 floors of any new tower that went up.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they'd
glorious,
get the views.
Yeah,
and
glorious penthouses.
And the security.
Yep, and they'd have, you know, rooftop barbecues with amazing 360-degree views of the harbour.
Yep.
And, you know, many of the people who own those huge houses, apart from the tech billionaires, are kind of a bit older.
Yeah.
They want to be able to live on one, you know, without stairs and with lift access and things.
Yeah, well, these days they just put a lift inside.
Yeah, and they don't want to do the gardening and they don't want to have to do all the maintenance. So apartment living would really suit them.
Yeah, I think if you're talking about Point Piper and the Vaucluse and places like that, even if you wanted to build an apartment block on your plot of land, I have a feeling the neighbours might have a problem with it.
Hmm. But maybe you get on well with your neighbours and you could all get together and say, yes.
Yeah, okay.
But can you imagine the strata committee?
Oh, God.
The arguments.
Yeah. Well, one of the first strata stories we ever heard was about 2 captains of industry who had apartments on the same floor and one of them wanted the carpet to be vacuumed in one direction with the pile sticking up and the other one wanted it to be vacuumed in the other direction with the pile lying down.
And it went all the way to court.
All the way to the Supreme Court, yes. That's partly because it was a company title, so they have to be decided in the Supreme Court, or they did then. But, yeah, the irresistible force and the immovable object. Mm. There's so many of those stories through strata. So the message about Loughlin's line is don't panic. The smart money is probably on having a look at what's for sale there in the next month or so before it all calms down again.
Mm.
Jean Nassif is having a great time in Lebanon, which is more than a lot of Lebanese people are having. And
the residents of his buildings as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and we can expect to hear from Mr. Chandler that there's going to be a new codification of the warnings that they put out when they say that a building need repair. I mean, and the thing about concrete cancer is it's not the developer. It's not even probably the actual builder. It's been the tradies at that level who've been a bit slack.
And the supervision of those people.
And the developer says they're going to fix it, so or get it fixed, because they're saying they're blaming the builder, obviously. But yeah, it's everybody calm down, back to your seats, and we'll carry on. When we come back, we're going to talk about the other big issue in apartments, which is electric bike battery fires. That's after this. So we're recording this on Saturday because it's, now what are you calling it? Rum Rebellion Day? Is that what you're calling it, Sue, after your column in the Herald the other day?
Well, the January the 26th, Australia Day, is also the anniversary of the shameful Rum Rebellion in Australia. And I was kind of likening it to the assault on the Capitol.
Right.
And so, yes, that was my column and I got lots of abuse about it. Being told to F off, you wokey. But then other people wrote with differing views on, and sometimes the same views and stuff. So it was interesting. But yes, so it is Australia Day week next
week.
And we're going off to New Zealand to do some work.
Not to escape.
No.
In any way.
No, not
to do some serious work.
Yeah.
And in any case, you know, being a Scot, I think of it as Burns Night. It's Robert Burns' birthday.
Is it? January the 26th?
And it's 25th.
Or 25th. Oh, okay.
But the 26th here is the 25th in Scotland.
Oh, I see. Oh, it's a big day.
Yeah. Fair for your honest sonsy face, great chieftain of the Puddin race.
Okay, I can't match that.
So, electric bikes. As I was saying, we're recording this on Saturday. Overnight, there was a fire in a unit in Bondi. A few weeks ago, I ran a piece in the Flat Chat website about the number of electric bikes outside hostels. There was a fire in a hostel in King's Cross, and that was, again, food delivery riders. And it seems to be that especially backpackers and, you know, people coming into Australia, they're looking to go into share flats or hostels because they're cheap and they're working as delivery riders at night on electric bikes. Where are they charging them up? Now, I don't think that this is a huge issue for the majority of apartments because the proportion of electric bikes and electric scooters, like what you've got, is quite small. But it's a concern. So this is a fire. There were four young blokes in this apartment. They woke up. It was the exploding batteries that woke them up. And then two of them got out the front door and then two of them climbed out onto, it was above a little shop. And two of them climbed out onto the awning and got out that way, got out the window.
Wow, how terrifying.
Absolutely. A couple of things strike me. The door to the apartment had one of those automatic closures things that we all have. And it slammed behind the first two when they got out, thereby saving the rest of the building. From
well,
the
because
smoke.
Because it contained the...
Contained the fire and the smoke.
But did the other two try and get out the same way?
They did, but there was too much smoke.
Oh, okay.
So they went out the window. But there was a big... it was actually a small fire in a flat in somewhere, I think it was Baltimore or Boston or Chicago or New York. And lots of people died in it. This was last year. And the reason they died was from smoke inhalation. And it was because the guy in the flat where the fire had started had grabbed his kids and ran out and left the door open.
Oh, wow.
And presumably if it had a door, a lot of people will disconnect their door closing devices because of door slamming. In any case, this one wasn't connected and what didn't work. And it was the smoke went through the rest of the building and killed people. It's a lesson for people who jam doors open, who disconnect their door closures. They actually work.
Yeah.
They actually save lives.
Yeah.
And this is a very good example of how that happened. The apartment was gutted by the fire. These guys lost everything, including their passports.
Oh, gee. Yeah.
The shop and the other apartments weren't affected.
Wow. That's amazing, isn't it?
Isn't it? So
even if door slamming is an irritation, you can get them adjusted, can't you, so that they soft close a bit more.
Well, we used to have, we have regular fire inspections in our building, and the fire guys would come round and just crank up the adjustment so it was on maximum slam every time. Mm. And then the building manager would come round and readjust them back to a reasonable level.
Mm.
Yeah, and eventually he told the fire people, you got to just stop doing it. It's counterproductive.
Yeah.
And, we'll adjust them to a safe level. But what do we do about electric bike batteries?
Yeah. Well, the OCN has tackled this issue.
Well, they're having a webinar in the middle of next month, and the details will be on the Flat Chat website. And they've put together a bylaw.
Okay.
That, you can adopt at a general meeting. I'm not sure what it says in the bylaw. I'm sure it has things like you may not leave the battery charging unattended, which would be...
That makes sense, doesn't it?
How you would police that.
Mm.
Yeah.
But even if it makes people think twice, because as you say, I've got an e-scooter, I would never charge it up and go out now because of what's happened elsewhere. So I'm just much more aware of the situation now.
Yeah.
And I power it up. It's on the balcony.
Yeah.
So that I could close the door if anything happened.
Yeah.
And before that wasn't an issue. I might charge it up overnight in the corridor of the apartment. But now I'm so much more careful. And I think publicity about these things is good because people are aware and they know not to buy cheap batteries or cheap chargers that aren't the same make as their batteries.
Yeah, and it does come down to these young people especially who have multiple bikes with different batteries and sharing one charger, which may not be ideal for the battery that they have.
Mm.
I can see some buildings banning them, just saying you may not have, you may not take your electric bike battery into the apartment.
Mm.
If you're going to charge it, it has to be in a safe place.
Yeah, and providing a safe place maybe. Well, although providing a safe place is a bit difficult, isn't it, really?
Well, there was a big fire at Sydney Airport a few months ago, and it was a battery that had been disconnected, and it shouldn't have been.
Was that a bike or a car?
It was a car.
Car.
But that car burnt out about four other cars next to it.
Yeah.
So, can you imagine if you're charging point is the garage of your apartment block.
Yeah.
Not ideal. So anyway, keep an eye open for that webinar, that OCN webinar. And when we come back, we're going to talk very briefly about Lock Up and Leave, a recommendation for this week. That's after this.
So, Jimmy, do you have a recommendation of a lock up and leave for this week?
I do. Now, you won't be surprised to learn that it's Vietnam.
Oh, it's Vietnam again.
Luxury escapes. Ooh, last year, there were these fabulous videos on the Luxury Escapes website of the MasterChef chefs who were doing a guided tour of Vietnam, a foodie's tour of Vietnam, from street food to high-end restaurants, and they were going to be there on the tour. And I remember vividly the film of them in Hanoi was, I could see my usual hotel in Hanoi right behind them.
Oh, great.
Just right behind them. And that is a terrific spot because there's lots of great food there. So they chose well. I think the thing was so popular, it went on sort of right midday, and by about 5 o'clock, they'd taken it back down again because they booked out, and it wasn't cheap.
Yep.
It was about $12,000 for a 14-day tour or something like that, which is very expensive by Vietnam standards. But I think it almost crashed their website.
Wow.
They had so many people coming on to watch the video. So that was good news for Luxury Escapes. But now they've taken basically all the research that Matt Preston and Gary Thingy, I hope he's not listening to this, that they had done to build this tour. And they've taken all that research, and now you can do the tour, but they're not there.
Mm.
And it costs less than half that it would have done. you know, if they had been there.
But you're still following in their footsteps, aren't you?
Very much so, and following their recommendations and stuff like that. Mm. And, you know, the tour guides will be pretty savvy with what they're supposed to do. So that's my lock up and leave for this week. It sounds great, actually.
Food in Vietnam is quite incredible, isn't it, really?
If I was allowed to go to Vietnam again, because I was there three times last year.
Yes.
But do you remember that hotel we stayed in Saigon, the Mist?
Yes.
Dong Hoi. Is it Dong Hoi? Yeah.
Very characterful, wasn't it?
Was it the Mist? Yeah.
No, the Mist was the one you stayed in with Jamie.
Oh, that was the Mystery. Yeah.
And the,
the Luxury.
Oh, right. So maybe it was the Mist.
It was the Mist. Yeah. And still there. But I remember coming back, the afternoon tea was just amazing. Just because it had that lovely combination of local Vietnamese and French pastry stuff.
Oh, God.
And the breakfast, you know, you had your European breakfast, you had your French breakfast, then you had Vietnamese breakfast. It was just
perfect.
It was terrific. Mm. And I'm sure if we could afford to go back there again, it would
still be.
We will
see. Maybe we might be able to go back.
Yeah, okay. We shall see. All right, that's us. Thank you, Sue, for taking time out of your weekend this time to contribute. And thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Flat Chat Wrap podcast. You'll find links to the stories and other references on our website, flatchat.com.au. And if you haven't already done so, you can subscribe to this podcast completely free on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Just search for Flat Chat Wrap with a W, click on subscribe, and you'll get this podcast every week without even trying. Thanks again. Talk to you again next week.